ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायस्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। तो आज हम लोग टुडे विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट नंबर 41। केदारेभ्यस्त्वपो घृणन् कर्षका दृढ़सेतुभिः यथा प्राणे स्रवच ज्ञानम् तन्निरोधेन योगिनः। ट्रांसलेशन वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। केदारेभ्यः फ्रॉम द फ्लडेड फील्ड्स ऑफ राइस पैडी टू एंड अपह द वाटर अघृणन टुक कर्षकाः द फार्मर्स दृढ़ स्ट्रॉन्ग सेतुभिः विथ डाइक्स यथा एज प्राणेः थ्रू द सेंसेस श्रवत फ्लोइंग आउट ज्ञानम कॉन्शियसनेस तत् ऑफ दोज सेंसेस निरोधेन बाय द स्ट्रिक्ट कंट्रोल योगिनः योगीज। ट्रांसलेशन पर्पज बाय श्री डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। इन द सेम वे द प्रैक्टिशनर्स ऑफ योगा बिगिन देयर सेंसेस अंडर स्ट्रिक्ट कंट्रोल टू चेक देयर कॉन्शियसनेस फ्रॉम फ्लोइंग आउट थ्रू द एजिटेटेड सेंसेस। द फार्मर्स इरेक्टेड स्ट्रॉन्ग मड बैंक्स to keep the water within the rice fields from draining out. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments, in autumn, farmers save the water within the fields by building strong walls so that the water contained within the field cannot run out. There is hardly any hope for new rainfall. Therefore, they want to save whatever is in the field. Similarly, a person is actually advanced in self-realization, protects his energy by controlling the senses. It is advised that after the age of 50, one should retire from family life and conserve the energy of the body for utilization in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Unless one is able to control the senses and engage them in the transcendental loving service of Mukunda, there is no possibility of salvation. Unless one is able to control the senses and engage them in the transcendental loving service of Mukunda, there is no possibility of salvation. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshunlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan। सहगन ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुवैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्यत देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे। हरे कृष्ण सो वेलकम एवरीवन वेलकम क्लास सो टुडे वी आर डिस्कसिंग वर्स नंबर 41 विच इज एनालॉजी सो दिस एंटायर चैप्टर इज अबाउट द डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ रेनी सीजन एंड ऑटम सीजन इन वृंदावन एंड सुखदेव महाराज इज वेरी ब्यूटिफुली गिविंग द वेरियस एनालॉजीज सो एवरीथिंग इन नेचर इज ट्राइंग टू कनेक्ट विथ one lesson for all of us. So for example, so many nice lessons are there. So few verses before, one example was there that, you know, in rainy season, a lot of water everywhere. Ponds are filled with water, all the small rivers filled with water. But as the rainy season gets over and the autumn comes, what happens? The water starts diminishing. So the fishes, so they also start suffering because water gets reduced, right? And they start suffering. So similarly, the example is, the lesson from this is that a person who is too much busy in enjoying his senses, after some time he starts feeling the heat of the sun. That means he starts feeling the miseries in life. Right? So like that, this chapter is full with so many beautiful examples, so many beautiful analogies. And in today's verse, the analogy given is that in the during the autumn season, what happens, farmers, they make small boundary around the field. Have you seen? Like fields are there, they make little small boundary with mud, you know, like a small 1 or 2 feet, like a embankment around the farm. Why? Because they don't want the water to flow out. See, especially in earlier times, now of course they can always turn on the boring to get water. But earlier days there was no boring. So where there is no irrigation, so only they have to depend on rainfall. So they are very careful not to allow the water to go out. So therefore the farmers, they try to protect, they try to preserve the water inside the land. Similarly, the analogy given here is that a person who is actually advanced in self-realization protects his energy by controlling the senses. So he doesn't allow his vital energy to get wasted. And Srila Prabhupada gives a nice thing, one beautiful line here, that after the age of 50, one should retire from family life and conserve the energy of the body for utilization in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Unless one is able to control the senses and engage them in the transcendental loving service of Mukunda, there is no possibility of salvation. So this is from Krishna book. We know that this chapter has been translated by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So in various places in the purport, they quote directly from Krishna book. So this is directly from the Krishna book where Srila Prabhupada is explaining this analogy of how the farmers, they make walls around the field so that the water may not go out. Right. So the main thing is that the lesson from here is that we should protect our energy by controlling the senses and use the energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. That's the whole lesson from this analogy. Because human form of life is first of all very rare. We have got it after so many lifetimes. And this is for very short duration. We don't know what's the duration of our life. So therefore, we should, whatever energy we have, we should protect that, we should conserve that for advancement in Krishna consciousness. That is a sign of intelligence. Because if we just waste our human valuable form of human life in sense gratification, then we are actually losing a great opportunity. So with the intelligence of keeping a far, you know, of higher goal, we should conserve our energy. We see in this world that people are working so hard, you know, they spend so much of energy for sense gratification. Actually, we are in Vrindavan, so we don't realize that so much. But recently I was just there 1 or 2 weeks, traveling to a few places. You see in the cities, you know, people are working so hard. Now, we may be thinking that work from home means it's okay. But I have seen, I was in my one relative's home, I saw my cousin brother, morning 6:30, 7 o'clock, he opened his laptop and busy working. So, people are working so hard. Why? Just for earning some money and just to maintain family life and just to try to enjoy this world. But actually they're not able to enjoy the senses also, even though they may try hard. So much of valuable time and energy they're just using for causes which is not so important, which are not so important. And this is happening everywhere. Everyone is working so hard and wasting his valuable human energy for sense gratification. But intelligent man, he knows that this opportunity, rain may not come again. Rain has already come, so I may not get this human form of life again. And especially all of us, we are, not only we got human form of life, but on top of that, we have got spiritual master, we have got a direction in life. We are so fortunate. Brahmanda Bhramite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, Guru Krishna Kripa Pai, Bhakti Lata Bish. So we should actually internalize this analogy, that we should become serious, that let me not waste my time or my energy in other things. The only focus of my life should be to engage whatever I have, all my energy, all my time, everything that I have, the service of Krishna. Manasa deha geha jo kishu mor arpilu tua pade nanda kishu. That's surrender. So whatever I have, let me engage fully in the service of Krishna. That's a sign of an intelligent man. He doesn't waste his energy or time for sense gratification. And then Srila Prabhupada is saying, unless one controls his senses and engages them in the transcendental loving service of Mukunda, there is no possibility of salvation. So two things, controlling senses and engaging them in the loving service of Mukunda. Now there are some transcendentalists like yogis, jnanis, impersonalists, but they also try to control the senses. And sometimes they are actually very expert, you know, very strong, very austere, like some of the yogis in Himalayas, you know. They hardly eat anything, they control their breathing also by pranayama. You know, and I've heard that still there are some yogis who can just take one breath and for many hours they can actually control their breathing. It's possible by pranayama, you know, if you practice a lot, then it's possible to actually even control our breathing. So there are yogis who are so strong in controlling the senses. But what is the risk? What's the problem? Because they don't have higher engagement, because they don't have higher taste, any time they can fall down. And we have seen so many examples during the Kaliya Krishna pastime. We saw the example of Saubhari Muni. That just happened in Vrindavan. He was there inside Yamuna and he was, imagine, you know, how much he was controlling his senses. He He was sitting inside water for years, for thousands of years. But then he just saw two fishes meeting and he could not control his senses. Famous story of Vishwamitra, Meneka just came and he was sitting in meditation, but he could not control just by hearing the ankle bells of the damsel from heaven. So the yogis, they may be very strong or they may do great austerities to control their senses, but whenever there is an opportunity, there is every chance of falling down. Because they are like snakes. I mean, you may try to control, but at any given time a snake can bite you. So therefore it's very, very dangerous. The senses are, compared to the to snakes, so dangerous. Anytime it can bite us. So therefore the other processes of controlling the senses by mechanical means, by yoga, dhyana, jnana, that is, those methods are not that effective. Anytime one can fall down. But when we engage them in Krishna's service, then very little chance of fall down. And even if there is a fall down, Krishna gives another chance. Tattva sadharmam charanam bhujam haret bhajan pakak bhajan apakvo pato pate tato yadi. That even if one falls down, there is no atra va abhadram, there is no inauspiciousness. Why? Because Krishna gives another chance to such a devotee. So this is an important point, that yes, we must control our senses, but how to control the senses? Not by some artificial means or mechanical means, no. The best way is to engage the senses in the service of the Lord, service of Krishna. And whenever there is such an example, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Ambarish Maharaj. In Bhagavad Gita, if you see, in so many purports, whenever Krishna talks about controlling senses, Srila Prabhupada, many times, he has quoted the example of Ambarish Maharaj. That how Ambarish Maharaj, although he was a great king, he engaged all his senses. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayo vachansi vaikuntha gunanu varnanam karer harer mandir marjanadisho shrutim chakara sat achuto kathodai mukundalila. So like that, he, Ambarish Maharaj, engaged all his senses. His mind in thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, his eyes in having darshan of the Lord, his ears in hearing Krishna's Krishna Katha, Krishna's holy names, his tongue in tasting Tulasi offered to the Lord, his body in embracing the form of the Lord. So like that, he engaged on his feet in coming to the holy places of the Lord. So in this way, engaged all his senses in the service of the Lord. And that is actually the only way to control the senses. So this is something very important for all. I'm sure you all must have heard it. But again and again, Srimad Bhagavatam repeats this point. Now we are in 10th canto. The next chapter is Venugit. Krishna is glorifying, the gopi is glorifying Krishna's flute. But time and again, Shukdev Goswami brings us to the basics of spiritual life. Because unless we are strong in this, unless we control our senses, unless we understand this philosophy, the tendency is that we may become like sahajyas. Sahajyas means what? The devotees, they like to hear Krishna's sweet pastimes in Vrindavan with the gopis, but they cannot control their own senses. Their conduct is not so good. So therefore, Shukdev Goswami again and again, at every opportunity you'll see in Bhagavatam, this subject matter is again emphasized about controlling our senses, about futility of material world, things like that. And Srila Prabhupada also, again and again, therefore he emphasizes on this point. This is a foundation of spiritual life, that I am not this body, I am soul, there is no happiness in this material world, I have to control my senses. So unless we are strong enough basics, there is no point of going further. We can't go higher levels of Krishna consciousness. So this is why it's repeated again and again, and we should also hear again and again to increase our conviction. And the analogies are so good, Bhagavatam is filled with so many analogies, examples from nature. So I was just thinking that there is another section of Srimad Bhagavatam in 11th canto where so many analogies are given. Which section is that? Anyone knows? 24 Gurus? You heard of that, right? That Avadhuta. So this is in 11th canto. So this is just like we have Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna to Arjuna. In 11th canto we have Uddhava Gita. That is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. And this is actually more elaborate than Bhagavad Gita. I don't know exactly how many verses, some scholars may be knowing, but many chapters of 11th canto, in fact, I think maybe almost 50% of 11th canto is actually teachings by Krishna to Uddhava. It's called Uddhava Gita. So there, actually what, when Krishna performed all his pastimes, first he was in Vrindavan, then he went to Mathura, then Dwarka, and then Krishna did his pastime for how many years? 125 years. Out of that, in Vrindavan he just spent 11 years. But he performed the sweetest pastimes here. Even though he went to Dwarka, he was in Dwarka for so many years, but still he was always remembering his Vrindavan pastimes. That's the whole secret of Lord Jagannath's form, because Krishna was so attracted to hear his own sweet pastimes of Vrindavan that he took this special form of Jagannath. So Krishna was there in Vrindavan, then Mathura, then Dwarka, and then for 125 years he did his entire pastimes, and after that he was ready to go back to his spiritual abode. And that time he arranged for that whole pastime, you know, bringing the Yadus to Prabhasa Kshetra, and they killed all of them that pastime, each other. So that time Uddhava understood that very soon Krishna is going to wind up his pastimes. So Uddhava came to Krishna with folded hands, he paid his obeisances and prayed to Krishna that, "Oh Krishna, please you also take me to your abode." And then Krishna gives him instruction, "Oh Uddhava, you stay here for some time, but be detached and wander throughout the earth." Like that Krishna gives him some instructions to Uddhava. So Uddhava, then he asked Krishna that, "Please explain me in detail, how can I engage in your devotional service, how can I control my senses?" And in answer to that, the entire Uddhava Gita was spoken by Krishna. So we can see that it's not easy. It's easy to say, okay, we should control our senses and engage in Krishna's service. But it's not easy. So, when Krishna started speaking to Uddhava, so he gives, he tells the story that how once Maharaj Yadu, he met a Avadhuta, a transcendentalist who was like a madman, just roaming here and there without any... So Yadu, King Yadu, Krishna is from the same dynasty, right? So Krishna is saying that once King Yadu approached a Brahmana who was Avadhuta, and he asked him that, "Why are you just roaming like this? You know, you're not doing any work, you're not trying to work hard, you're not trying to enjoy your senses, you don't have any companions. So, but still you are in ecstasy. So what is the secret? Why you are so happy?" And then the Brahmana, he replies. So the Brahmana said, "My dear king, with my intelligence I have taken shelter of many spiritual masters. Having gained transcendental understanding from them, I now wander about the earth in a liberated condition. Please listen as I describe them to you. I have taken shelter of 24 gurus who are the following." So the Avadhuta, he gives a list of 24 gurus. Who are they? The earth, the air, sky, water, fire, moon, sun, pigeon, python, sea, moth, honeybee, elephant, honey thief, deer, fish, prostitute pingala, kurara bird, the child, the young girl, arrow maker, serpent, spider and wasp. So how many? I was just counting on my fingers. 24. My dear king, by studying their activities, I have learned the science of the self. So now there's a description of what do we learn from each of these different gurus in nature. So first is earth. So what is the lesson we get from earth? That earth is a symbol of tolerance. People, they exploit earth so much, you know, they dig ponds, they make underpass, they make big, they dig holes for making big buildings, foundation. But the earth is not disturbed. Earth is always tolerant. They do mining. So earth is always tolerant. No, later, after class, okay? So still earth is always tolerant and always provides the necessities of everyone. So that's the first example, earth. Then second is mountain. So what do we learn from the mountain? A saintly person should learn from the mountain to devote all his efforts to the service of others and to make the welfare of others the sole reason for his existence. Similarly, as disciple of tree, should learn to dedicate himself for others. So, from mountain and from trees, what do we learn? How to tolerate and how to give others. Like Mahaprabhu also did the same thing in Shikshashtakam. Trinadapi sunichena taroreva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtine sadar. A tree, even if someone comes to cut the tree gives shade to that same person who is coming to cut the tree. The tree gives fruit to that person. So this is what we learn from mountain and tree. And then, wind. So what do we learn from the wind? That wind moves everywhere, whether it's a dirty place or a clean place. Wind doesn't say, oh no, this is a drain, I will not pass over the drain, I'll just pass through nice rose garden. No. Wind blows everywhere. Similarly, a transcendentalist, he should be like a wind. He should not be affected by good and bad. Then sky. Sky also, it talks about, although the sky extends everywhere, the sky does not mix with anything. Understood? The sky, everywhere we have sky, but the sky doesn't mix with anything. So this is another example that we should learn. That how, even though we stay in the world, we should never be entangled in the world. Okay. Then the next example is water. Very nice analogy of water. That a saint should be like water. What is the quality of water? It purifies. You know, we are dirty, we just take bath in water, we are purified. So saintly person should be like water, that anyone who comes in touch with saintly person, he should be purified. There's a nice bhajan, right? Gangara parasahele pashyate pavana darshane pavitra karo ei tomar guna ei bar karuna karo vaishnav gosai patita pavana toma bina keho nai. So just like we purify ourselves by taking bath in water, just by having darshan of saintly persons, one gets purified. Therefore, saintly person should be like water. And then, like fire, which burns up all the dirty things and doesn't get affected by anything. So, saintly persons are like fire. So, like that, there's so many analogies. Okay. Now, I'll just read the ones that I want to read today, that is related to controlling senses. So, five examples are given. moth. Okay, so how they are connected? So moth are those kind of insect, right? Like butterflies, or we see sometimes some lights, some insects attracted to the light, especially during autumn time we see, right? In the morning time, so many insects we find dead near the light. Or moth is attracted by the fire, it goes to the fire, and what happens to it? It gets burnt. So from this analogy is given that how eyes can be so dangerous form. So moth is a creature that is attracted by glaring form of the fire, but when it goes inside the fire, what happens? It gets burnt up. So this is the danger, that how the form, the five sense objects, so form, that how form can actually cause our destruction. That if you are attracted by seeing good material forms, so that can be source of our destruction. Then the example is given of fish. How do we capture a fish? Anyone who has done fishing? I have never done fishing. How do we fish, Ruby? We put a bait, right? We have a stick and we put what, worm or a worm, or sometimes something to eat, a worm. So as soon as you put inside water, the fish is attracted. Oh, something good to eat. And as soon as the fish comes to eat that, what happens? It gets stuck there. And it's captured by the fisherman. So what causes the destruction of the fish? Tongue. Taste. So the moth causes its destruction by form, attracted by beautiful form. Fish causes its destruction by being attracted to taste, something good to eat. Then deer. How a deer is captured? By sound. So hunter, he plays a beautiful music, and by that music the deer is attracted. Otherwise deer runs very fast, the hunter is very difficult for the hunter to capture the deer, but by sound he captures the deer. So deer hears nice sound and the deer comes towards the hunter, and the hunter easily captures the deer. So here we see we saw rupa, we saw shabda by sound, and then taste. Then another example is given, smell. You know, honeybees, they are attracted by smell of nice fragrant flowers. So when a nice lotus is there, lotus blooms in the daytime, so honeybee goes inside the lotus and he feels so nice, you know, smelling the aroma of the lotus, taking out honey from the lotus. And the evening time, the lotus again collapses. But the honeybee is so much attracted by the smell, aroma of the lotus, it doesn't come out. And what happens? The lotus collapses and the bee dies inside. So gone, smell. So what we discussed? Moth, then fish, deer, and smell, honeybee. Fifth example is elephant. Elephant is very powerful animal, very heavy. Is it easy to capture elephant? No. But how elephants are captured? By having a she elephant. So when there is a she elephant, the elephant tries to run behind that she elephant. And the hunter is so smart, so he keeps the she elephant, and in front of that there is a big hole, and that hole is covered with grass. So as soon as the elephant runs towards the she elephant, and he falls in the ditch. And that's how the elephant is captured. Now what about human beings? Are we attracted by any of these things? All five, that's the problem. So at least animals, you know, they have one weakness. Okay, elephant is attracted by she elephant, or moth is attracted by the effulgence of fire, or fish is attracted by something good to eat, or deer is attracted by music. But human beings, unfortunately, were attracted by all these five things. So unfortunate. So dangerous. So that is why, the senses are so difficult. A human being can cause his destruction by any of these five things, all of these five things. So we have attraction for good music, we want to see beautiful things, beautiful form of woman, etc. Or we want to taste good things, we don't care whether it's animals or whatever it is. We want to taste something good. We want to hear good music. We want to see some good things. We want to... what else? We want to... Of course, we want to touch. We are attracted by soft things. So this is our precarious condition. I want to smell nice aroma. Look at the perfume industry, you know. Such a big industry. Why? Because people want to smell nice fragrance. So this is how all the senses are so dangerous. It can capture. Even a very intelligent man can get captured by these senses. And so what's the solution? I mean, it's so difficult. At least animals, each of them, that attracted by one particular sense, but human being by all these five senses, all our five knowledge acquiring senses, you know, our eyes, our ears, tongue, nose and skin, touch. So all of these five things we are attracted to. So what's the solution? One is, of course, we can try very hard to control all of them, like the yogis. But what is the best thing for a devotee? What Srila Prabhupada suggests? Engaging them in Krishna's service. That's the only way. So all of these senses can be engaged in Krishna's service. That's the beauty of devotional service. Each of these senses. Now again, let's talk about the eyes. What we should do with the eyes? Look at the form of God Nitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar. Most beautiful deities here, right? Krishna is so beautiful. He has come here, appeared before us. So we can look at the beautiful form of the Lord. With the ears, we hear nice melody of Kirtan, you know. We have such nice 24-hour Sankirtan here. Hear Krishna's beautiful pastimes. So many things we can hear. So no need to, you know, pluck our ears. I'll not hear anything. No need. Hear nice things. Hear Krishna Katha. Hear Krishna Nam. Just like we have monies, they say, we'll not speak anything. No, speak about Krishna. Speak Krishna's names. So ears we can engage in hearing about Krishna. Eyes in having darshan of Krishna. Tongue in tasting Krishna's delicious prasadam. Of course, everybody loves prasadam, right? So that is how Srila Prabhupada has given his beautiful prasad to all of us. ISKCON bullets. Yeah, the famous gulab jamuns. So we have so much nice prasad to taste. Tongue we can control by tasting prasadam. That's what we sing every day. That sarira vidya jayandya tahe kal jivafale visha sagare tar madhe jivati loho maya sudurmati taake jatha kathin sansare krishna bada dayamaya. Krishna is so kind. Kariware jiva jaye sa prasad nidilu bhai. Otherwise they're very difficult to control the tongue. But Krishna is so kind that he has given us his mahaprasad, his prasad. So tongue we can easily control by tasting prasad. And then sense of smell. We have beautiful flowers. Vrindavan flowers are so special. Just smell the beautiful flowers offered to the Lord. Every day we have itar. So we can smell that. And touch. We touch the form of the Lord. Or we embrace devotees. So in this way, we can also purify our sense of touch. So this is the beauty of devotional service. So this is what we in today's verse we read, that we should understand this, our energy is very limited. So we should not waste our human form of energy in sense gratification. That is just like losing out all the water. So foolish farmer, if he doesn't build wall, he lose all the water. Similarly, whatever energy we have, if we don't control our senses, if we just allow our senses to go just enjoy, we are losing all our valuable energy. Now, whatever energy we have, doesn't matter whatever our age is now. Best is if one can practice from childhood. Or if someone can make a life from brahmachari. But if that's not possible, at least Srila Prabhupada is saying that we should become more serious as we grow old. Especially saying after the age of 50, we should, that's the Vedic civilization. Brahmacharya ashram, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So at least after the age of 50, we should completely give up sense gratification. And I was thinking, this age of 50 is there because the lifespan was 100 years. But now the lifespan is 70-80 years. That means at the age of 40 actually, we should become we should actually take to Vanaprastha or become very serious. So anyway, so Srimad Bhagavatam reminds us time and again about the importance of controlling our senses, importance of human form of life. So in this chapter also there are so many beautiful analogies. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, have you seen the book Light of Bhagavat? How many of you have seen that book? There's a book Light of Bhagavat, which in fact is the first book by Srila Prabhupada. It was not published that time, but in 1960, I think 1960-61 was in Vrindavan. There was an invitation from Japan, there was some conference. And Prabhupada wanted to go there and present Srimad Bhagavatam. And he chose this particular chapter from Srimad Bhagavatam with all these analogies. Because he knew that Vaishnavas, they like analogies from nature. You know, there are so many poets, they take examples from nature. So because this chapter has so many analogies from nature, Srila Prabhupada chose this chapter. And he wrote a nice book and he wanted some artist to paint all the analogies. Of course, this was not possible that time. Somehow Srila Prabhupada could not go to Japan. But later, his disciples, they fulfilled Srila Prabhupada's desire and they published this book. They employed a professional artist to paint all the pictures. So that book we have, Light of Bhagavat, with all these analogies of this chapter of Bhagavatam, 10.20, and lessons from each analogies. So we can read that book also. And beautiful chapter with so many analogies. Okay, so any questions, any comments? Yes, please. Yes.
Hare Krishna. You have asked that after 15 years, we should have to save energy for Krishna consciousness. Please elaborate which type of energy? Which type of energy?
Okay, good question. See, our life force means what? A dead person, he can't see anything, he cannot speak anything, he cannot do anything. So energy means that life force that we have, because of which we are able to do all these activities. So that energy, we have to, instead of spending that energy in sense gratification, especially also sex energy. So we are wasting that energy in material enjoyment. So if you conserve that, so urdhavreta we say, when we conserve semen, our brain becomes more intelligent, fertile. So all forms of energy, whatever we have, like I discussed all these five senses that we have, sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of seeing. So all these senses, we have to engage in Krishna service, not in sense gratification. So this should be not only at age of 50, throughout our life, but especially Srila Prabhupada is saying, after the age of 50, one should become very serious. When you stop all forms of sense gratification, in 7th canto of Bhagavatam, Vanaprastha life is described. It's very, very strict, very austere life of Vanaprastha. So especially after age of 50, we should completely give up sense gratification. But throughout the life, unless one practices to give up sense gratification, it cannot happen that all of us, okay, today is my 50th birthday, I'm stopping all sense enjoyment. That doesn't happen like that. It's a practice throughout the life. And we should become more serious after age of
50. Wealth is also our energy.
Yes.
My income is also energy.
Yes.
Yeah,
not. Yes, energy, yes. Mm-hmm. So we should use that, therefore we should use our wealth in Krishna service. So after age of 50, there is no need to earn more wealth. Whatever wealth we have, we should just keep something for emergency needs and engage in Krishna service. Thank you, Prabhuji. Nice question. See, there are 9 stages of bhakti. First is Shraddha. We begin with some faith. Then we do sadhu sangha, we associate with devotees. And then we do bhajan kriya, we start performing devotional service. So immediately when we perform devotional service, we may not get a higher taste. Some higher taste we may get, but not always. Why? Because we have anarthas inside. So therefore the 4 stages is anartha nivritti. After anartha nivritti comes nishtha, strong faith. Then after Nishtha comes Ruchi. So Ruchi is which stage? Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajan Kriya, Anarth Nivritti, Nishtha. Sixth stage. Then comes Asakti, Bhava and Prema. So Ruchi, that taste in chanting doesn't come so easily. Of course, initially Krishna gives some initial taste. Just like Narad Muni, if you remember his story, that when he was 5-year-old boy, he went to the house of the sages, and then his mother died, and then he went, he was traveling, then suddenly Krishna appeared to him, he had darshan of Krishna. But then Krishna told that this is my last darshan in this lifetime, so you practice bhakti throughout this lifetime, the next life you will become the great sage Narad Muni. So very initially when we come to Krishna consciousness, Krishna gives some taste, so that we are hooked to Krishna, but then we have to work hard. When we do bhajan kriya and when all the anarthas are removed, then only the permanent taste will come, which is that ruchi stage. So for that we have to have some patience, we have to continue bhakti steadily, and if we do bhakti seriously, steadily, then once we cross this anartha nivritti, then ruchi will come. Yes.
Even few days back, I think we were talking about these stages. So I was just thinking, I had a question in mind, that do we should know that on which stage we are? If yes, how to know that and how to go forward?
Actually, we can realize ourselves whether anarthas are there or not. I mean, I am the best person to know that. Like Prabhupada says, when we eat, when we feel our hunger is satisfied, not that we use some instrument and we are doing some testing whether I am hungry or not. I feel that satisfaction, okay, my hunger is gone. But similarly, if anarthas are there or not, I can easily judge. So it's not very difficult to judge in which stage we are. And it's given in Shastras, means we should actually. Yes. Yeah, so, and it takes a long time, it's not that easy, but yes, it depends how intensely, how seriously, sincerely wording bhajan kriya, to that degree anartha nivritti will be faster.
But this is important to know that we are, or we should be continuing the process?
That's also a good question. Advanced devotee, even if he's in the stage of bhava and prema, he doesn't think like that. He still thinks that I have anarthas. So that's humility. But yes, at least we can understand how much anarthas we have. That's very easy to. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, so thank you very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.